Blackstone Audio presents The Art of Writing and the Gifts of Writers by C.S. Lewis, edited by Leslie Walmsley. This book is read by Ralph Cosham.
68. The Hobbit. A view of Tolkien's book, which appeared in the Times Literary Supplement, 2nd of October 1939. It is now in Of This and Other Worlds, 2000. The publishers claim that The Hobbit, though very unlike Alice, resembles it in being the work of a professor at play. A more important truth is that both belong to a very small class of books which have nothing in common save that each admits us to a world of its own, a world that seems to have been going on long before we stumbled into it, but which, once found by the right reader, becomes indispensable to him. Its place is with Alice, Flatland, Fantast, The Wind in the Willows. To define the world of The Hobbit is, of course, impossible, because it is new. You cannot anticipate it before you go there, as you cannot forget it once you have gone. The author's admirable illustrations and maps of Mirkwood and Goblin Gate and Escaroth give one an inkling, and so do the names of the dwarf and dragon that catch our eyes as we first ruffle the pages. But there are dwarfs and dwarfs, and no common recipe for children's stories will give you creatures so rooted in their own soil and history as those of Professor Tolkien, who obviously knows much more about them than he needs for this tale. Still less will the common recipe prepare us for the curious shift from the matter-of-fact beginnings of his story. Hobbits are small people, smaller than dwarfs, and they have no beards, but very much larger than Lilliputians, to the saga-like tone of the later chapters. It is in my mind to ask what share of their inheritance you would have paid had you found the hoard unguarded. You must read for yourself to find out how inevitable the change is and how it keeps pace with the hero's journey. Though all is marvellous, nothing is arbitrary. All the inhabitants of Wilderland seem to have the same unquestionable right to their existence as those of our own world, though the fortunate child who meets them will have no notion, and his unlearned elders not much more, of the deep sources in our blood and tradition from which they spring. For it must be understood that this is a children's book only in the sense that the first of many readings can be undertaken in the nursery. Alice is read gravely by children and with laughter by grown-ups. The Hobbit, on the other hand, will be funniest to its youngest readers, and only years later, at a 10th or a 20th reading, will they begin to realize what deft scholarship and profound reflection have gone to make everything in it so ripe, so friendly, and in its own way so true. Prediction is dangerous, but The Hobbit may well prove a classic.
69. Period Criticism. Published as Notes on the Way in Time and Tide, Volume 27, 9th of November 1946, this was reproduced in Of This and Other Worlds, 2000. Opening the Listener a few days ago, I came upon an article on Chesterton by Mr. James Stevens, an article which seemed to me ungenerous and even unjust. There were two main charges made against Chesterton. The one, that he was too public, for in Mr. Stevens's view, poetry is a very private affair, and the other, that he was dated. The first need not, perhaps, be discussed here at very great length. Mr. Stevens and I find ourselves on opposite sides of a very well-known fence, and Mr. Stevens's side is, I must confess, the popular one at present. It still seems to me that the burden of proof rests on those who describe as private compositions which their authors take pains to have multiplied by print and which are advertised and exposed for sale in shops. It is an odd method of securing privacy, but this question can wait. It certainly would not have worried Chesterton. Nor would the maxim that any poetry which is immediately and widely acceptable, like that of Euripides, Virgil, Horace, Dante, Chaucer, Shakespeare, Dryden, Pope, and Tennyson, must be merely peasant poetry, have offended a man who desired nothing so much as the restoration of the peasantry. But the question of dating remains. It is very difficult here to resist turning the tables. To ask what writer smells more unmistakably of a particular period than Mr. Stevens himself. That peculiar mixture of myth